Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You see this man on SNY, Todd Zeal. Todd, how are you, sir?
It's good to be here. Did you get out to any ball games? You remember that time? That was good old days, right?
It was the good old days.
I threw out a pitch.
I think it was after it was 2 years after that.
Is that right?
Yeah, first pitch out at Shea. So,
well, New York was buzzing that time,
right?
And I told these guys this before while you guys were at your break, but just wanted to reiterate that the last time I really paid a lot of attention to football, I was like 12 watching the Rams in Los Angeles before they even left and came back. So I marvel at what you guys do and what you guys can reel off about all different kinds of things. But if you come to me on that, I might glaze
right,
over.
Right, right. No, we won't. So, we won't. I marvel at the fact that you're almost 60 and you look amazing.
Thank you, man.
Serious.
You're almost 60?
I turned 59 last
you
week.
Look,
yeah.
You look
good. Like, there's no wrinkles.
Illusion, no, like, no. Yeah,
he looks better than me. I'm 37.
I stay in the sun a lot. Stay in the sun. Try to get in that sun, right?
That's crazy. Anyway. Well, good for you, man. Do you know that last night at Citi Field, I was in the building for the Great Met victory. You were the answer to a trivia question. Are you aware of this?
I'm usually the answer on the Immaculate Grid somewhere. 11 teams in all those years. You can plug me in one of those places.
But
no,
great.
I didn't know.
Well,
what was the question?
I think the question was, which guy hit a home run with like 11 different teams?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Anything that involves a lot of different teams, a good chance you can throw
and,
me in there.
And they tried to bring you in because, and I tried to, like, I didn't remember this. Like, I think I could name maybe 80% of the teams you were on. Like, I remember the Dodgers, the Marlins, the Mets, the St. Louis Cardinals, the Texas Rangers, the Baltimore Orioles. I think you were a Yankee
for a minute. That's way ahead of most people. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. But I was a Yankee for a minute. Yeah.
You were a Yankee for a minute. I try to forget that. But
me too.
That's right. But then
that's a different. Nothing against the organization, just not a great year in my years.
What year was that? 2003. Okay, because four was your last year when you came back to
the Mets. He was an Expo the same year.
Well, that's the thing.
I was indeed.
They said you're an Expo. And I'm thinking to myself, Todd Zeal was not an Expo.
Yeah, I
couldn't remember that one.
I went from being a Yankee in their kind of push to get to the postseason to being in Montreal, which, by the way, we played our last 25 home games in Puerto Rico that year. So that was an interesting
bizarre
year in and of itself. But,
I don't remember that.
Yeah, and that, by the way, that also qualifies me as a national on the Immaculate Grid, so I get an extra bonus for that.
Bingo.
As well.
That is true. The state of this team right now, we're marveling at the starting pitching because I think coming into the year, the hope was they can hold up, they can be average, and maybe they'll score enough runs and the bullpen will be good enough. To me, it is stunning that over the last month, this has been the best rotation in baseball. What's your thoughts on
that? It's a little stunning to me, too. I think we did, took a look at it overall last night, especially. And you looked at the faces of the starting five. And, you know, you had Senga that you thought was going to be a guy at the top of the rotation coming into spring training. That was quickly, put on the back burner. And these other five guys have pretty much – David Peterson had to start a little late because of the hip. But, you know, you've got with Manaea, Quintana, and Severino, those three guys have been out there every 5 days. And the thing that I've marveled at is – the fact that they've seemed to reinvent themselves during the year. And when I say they're not completely different than the guys they were, but this is the most fastball heavy, fastball dominant rotation in all of baseball. And without guys that are throwing 100, right? You've got guys that have figured out how to get to early contact, use their fastball effectively, and get deeper into games. And it's something that you didn't see out of them early on. So I love the adjustments they made. I think you got to give some credit to Jeremy Hefner and those guys.
Well, two questions. One about Senga, which I'll get to in a second. But how hard is that to do? Like, reinvent yourself in the middle of a season, as you were just alluding to. It seems like it would be very difficult.
I do, too. I think that's why I marvel so much at Sean Manaea, because he's like, hey, Chris Sale, that looks like a pretty cool way to throw. I'm going to do that. And then he's in an unhittable sense, right? I mean, he's already a guy that crossfired, but he saw something in Sale, made an adjustment, worked with Jeremy, and now he throws 70% fastballs up in the strike zone, and nobody can hit it. So I think it's been interesting. We've been fascinated watching it, and you're holding your breath thinking, okay, is this just a run that they're on? Are guys going to make adjustments back? And so far, they haven't been able to do it.
So you mentioned Kodai Senga, and we know that he's likely out for the entire rest of the regular season, but there's this like little inkling of hope that he could come back. The realistic like prognosis on that happening is what?
I think we'll find out a little bit more about that today, because he threw a bullpen yesterday, and today is the day that they're going to say, hey, it went well, or he feels good today, or whatever. And look, he's an interesting guy, I think, just personally, because I've never seen a guy that's on the IL, and instead of asking the training staff and the pitching staff and the manager, you know, when's this guy going to be back, they all look at each other and go, when he says he's going to be back. Because he's like, my mechanics aren't right. My arm feels great. My mechanics aren't right. I'll come back when my mechanics feel good. And so I think you got to rely on him to hear what he says.
If he does come back, and I love Kodai Senga. Like, he was so impressive last year. The 30 seconds he's pitched this year was very impressive against Atlanta.
It was.
But if he's able to come back, how would you deploy him? It sounds like they would use him as a starter. But if he's only capable of going an inning or two, do you think that could negatively affect whether it's McGill or Quintana following him in a role that they're not very familiar with, being that bulk pitcher, if you
will? Well, I mean, you do also have the option of having him go as an opener, a sense, and somebody like Buddo coming in behind him and utilizing the 6 days or the six guys in that rotation, because they've all seemed to benefit a little bit from the extra day's rest. McGill is a perfect example. Again, yesterday he had an extra day's rest. He looked really great. He's been sharp. David and Severino and those guys at the end of the year can use that extra. So I don't necessarily think it would be him opening and then having one of the other guys piggyback on top of him. I think they'd be better to use the extra pitcher that they have right now and have him lead off a game and maybe somebody like Buddo follow it up.
Do you think, and we're talking to Todd Zeal, we're live here in the SNY studios, Pete Alonso's had a very kind of blah year. Like, his numbers are okay, but it's not been the year we've expected. Do you think he's pressing?
I think he has. I think he has pressed along the way, and I think the biggest indicator of that to me is that how much I've watched him and analyzed his swing and his swing decisions and some of the things that he's done from the day he got here that have changed this year. He's had a lot less success with men in scoring position. He's usually been a guy that takes good at-bats, that shrinks the zone a little bit in those situations. He's chased a lot more this year. And I think earlier on, the team was, as a whole, kind of struggling to find offense. And so I think he felt like he had to put it on his back and got into some bad habits. It was good to see what he did last night. And I think that I'd be lying if I didn't think that the contract, all the talks going into the spring and all of the stuff playing out, you know, I mean, you can't just eliminate it from your mind, even if you say, I'm going to go out and concentrate what I can do. You just can't eliminate it completely.
I think it becomes part of the conversation around you, even if you're not necessarily talking about it yourself. Somebody else is talking about it, or you hear it, or your sibling or brother or agent or whatever. It always comes up. So it's never going to be just focus on baseball. It doesn't work that way.
You know what happens a lot, and maybe as an athlete you're going to hear this and say that's the most ridiculous thing ever, or maybe you'll actually say it makes sense. One of the biggest criticisms Pete gets, this is a criticism A-Rod used to get back in the day. I don't think you ever faced this criticism, which is, yeah, hit a home run. It was 6-1. Who cares? It doesn't mean anything.
Every home run means something. Even if it just statistically makes you feel better about yourself. I mean, honestly.
Well, we
could be, for instance, there was a bunch of games. The Wellington Mara game, playing the Commanders, well, then Redskins. We're destroying them. I have a 59-yard run. Tell me, trust me, it felt good. hell of good. They look good in the stats. So they all matter.
Do they all matter?
They matter. I understand what you're talking about, and I can see both sides. But I was a guy that I have to be. I have to be honest. I gave up at bats, and I looking back, I think I could have done a better job
because of the
when
score?
The game when the games were lopsided.
Really? Uh-huh.
And I feel like I didn't put as much emphasis on it. I didn't concentrate as much in those at-bats that I thought were less meaningful.
Yeah.
And I focused a lot more when they were meaningful. So do they all matter? I mean,
was that maybe, preservation? You know what I mean? Because baseball is so long. A season is so long. You're like, all right, this game's over.
It's a grind.
I do not
yeah.
need to get myself physically, mentally dialed in. It's a waste of functional energy.
I think there was more of the mental issue with me.
Yeah.
Is that I felt, I played every day that I could, and I played a lot of games in a row. And so I was going to be out there until the game was over. But I definitely feel, and it's a criticism of myself, because Joe Torre worked with me, and he tried to pound that into me as a young player, don't ever give up an at-bat.
Yeah.
So I respect the guys that find ways when the other team's down, and they've got a guy that they're going to let wear it, that they find a way to get something out of it, because at the end of the day, it all, they look at that back of the baseball
yeah.
card.
But
Pete hit one against Cody Clemens the
right.
other day, right?
Right.
I guarantee he'll take that. Three ribbies. Right. Three ribbies,
but
too.
But I bet it's also one of those things where the fan or the cynic, as you were talking about, Evan, that was an easy one. It's not easy, though. It's still hard.
You still got a major league pitcher out there trying
exactly.
to get
most it's not
of the
easier.
Time, major league pitcher.
Yeah, but not Cody Clemens, but yeah, for the most part.
But Tyrone Taylor's got a grand slam against Luis Guillorme this year. So, I mean, but I guarantee you that all he cares about is that thing that says GS on the back of the car.
I think we make a big deal sometimes about, locker room conversations. Oh, well, they had a team meeting, and this came out of it. This one felt weird earlier this week.
Yeah.
Because it was David Stearns.
Yeah.
It wasn't Francisco Lindor saying, guys, let's get together. Let's do it for one another. Let's have an accountability. This is like this is the president of baseball operations
yeah.
calling a meeting. I mean, that seems odd. How odd is that?
It seemed odd to me because I didn't know what exactly the context was, and nor should I necessarily know
yeah.
what the context was if they have a closed-door meeting. I thought what was interesting is that a report came out of it that Pete wanted to speak and did speak. And then when Pete was asked about it last night, he's like, how did you know? Well, a report came out. I was wondering where that came from, but apparently Pete expressed that, hey, you know what? I want to try to lead this team. I want to, get to the postseason here. And the implication being that he may not, this may be the last opportunity for him. But I thought it was a little bit unusual. I'd never really heard of that. And I didn't really understand exactly why it was called. They obviously had some information they wanted to pass on
right.
to the guys. But
well, I think it's concerning Met fans, honestly. I think that hearing that, because we heard it late in the show yesterday, was like, do they know more about Lindor than maybe they're letting on? And they want to fire the team up and say, hey, listen, it's not good. I don't know what that means.
Well,
not good.
Backs are backs.
Well, backs are bad, though.
Are bad, yeah. Of course they are bad. I'm just saying backs are backs.
Right.
They're completely unpredictable.
Absolutely. So maybe it's like setting them up for the worst, but they really don't know. Mm-hmm. So that was the fear I had upon hearing that. Like, do they know more than that? But how often, if ever? Like, did Steve Phillips ever come down and run a team meeting?
No, not really team meeting. I can never really remember that from a GM. I mean, you get once in a while, you'll get an owner or somebody that'll come in and have something to say to the guys. Usually it's more inspirational kind of stuff leading into postseason or something like
did
that.
Did Jeff Wilpon ever do that?
Jeff never did that I can remember. The last one I remember was Peter Angelos, who when I was with Baltimore for a minute.
Oh, boy.
What did
he say?
You know what?
Guys, I really want to make multiple millions off of this franchise.
Yeah, hey,
can you guys just pick
like
it up just a little
right
bit, man?
You know what? Anything that he said would have then been cast in a different light by Cal Ripken, who really kind of ran that clubhouse anyway. So, you don't see it very often, to your point. And maybe you're right. Maybe it was just to kind of set expectations for the guys, because every focus over the last few days was, will he be back? Will he not? And as you said, a back is a back.
Right.
You may wake up feeling great. You may take one swing or run or step one way, and all of a sudden it locks up on you, it spasms, and you don't really have control of that until it's gone, and it may not be gone.
Yeah, that's the scary part about it. And he's had such a great year. It's why everyone's got to step up. Everybody's got to perform. Last night was a good sign because it feels like, as great as this pitching's been, we talked about it, this offense needs to step up. Yeah. JD has done nothing for a while. We've talked about Pete. Pete had a good night last night. Blue pit counts as a line drive. I don't care how hard he hit it. Mm-hmm. But it feels like the offense is going to need to step up for them to finish the job.
Yeah, I think that all of the guys, and maybe that's what that was about, is that, hey, everybody's got to kind of get back to that place that they were on May 31st when they had the other team meeting and said, hold yourself accountable, hold me accountable, and let's go out and find a way to win. And you've got a guy like Iglesias has been really the heart and soul kind of unsung hero of this team because he's out there finding ways to compete and keeping guys kind of fired up. And Lindor was that other guy. And when he's out, maybe they try to get something out of the other guys.
I love the 2000 Mets. I want to make this clear before I say what I'm about to say. I love that team. And I love you and everything you contributed. When you hear OMG, does it make you annoyed that you got stuck with Who Let the Dogs Out?
Yeah. And you know what? One of the most, I mean, aside from everything that happened with 9/11 and all the, which were the most important parts of my career,
without question.
Probably the most significant at bat of my career, aside from Timo Perez, which
I'm not bringing that up, but
was bases clearing double against the Cardinals that really kind of sent us to the World Series, right? Yes. And the place was absolutely going ballistic, and you could feel the ground shaking. And I watched it the other day because somebody had a clip of it, and I literally covered my ears at second base because they were blasting Who Let the Dogs Out so loud, so loud that it was like, oh, my God. That became synonymous, and we're like, there's been a couple of times in the last couple of years where we're like, let's not let Timmy Trumpet be the Who Let the Dogs Out. Right? Because to the guys involved in it, like, it's a cool thing to get caught up in at the time, but it also can, to a seasoned Mets fan, can be like, oh, that was the beginning.
I don't feel like that's going to be the case with OMG, right?
OMG right through to the World Series.
I mean, it's because it's original. It's not something that's repurposed or appropriated in any way. It's just kind of like, this is what I feel. And it's
the guy on the team. They're all behind it. I mean, that may be the difference. We didn't really have any say.
Right, you had nothing to do with it.
That was the Baja Man hitting lightning in a bottle at the time.
I'm sure they told you about it, but the year before in 99, like, their rally song was LA Woman, Jim Morrison.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I still know nothing about music.
Yeah,
and
Mojo Rising and all that, yeah.
I loved it because I knew it was a team thing.
Right.
And so I started, like, I still play that song. Yeah. I know nothing, but I love it. And that felt real because it was organic, very similar to OMG. Who Let the Dogs Out was put on you. I feel bad.
Right. That's why I was saying last year, the day that Timmy Trumpet played live in the stadium.
You didn't like that.
We're like, let's do it in game four of the World Series. Jumping the shark a little bit. Yeah, it was a little jump the shark.
Right.
But,
hey,
he's back. So, I mean, we'll see how that plays out.
Not Timmy Trumpet, you mean Edwin.
Yeah, Edwin. All
right, and they're playing Timmy Trumpet. He's not performing, though. I've had an idea, and the idea doesn't work without guys like you. So you can very easily say, Evan, this is stupid. Shut up. Never bring it up again.
Wow.
And I'm going to promise you, if you tell me it's stupid, I'll never bring it up again.
Oh, God, that's a lot of pressure.
All right, so here's my idea. I loved Old Timers Day a couple years ago. Yeah. I'm sure you loved it as well. And I think that we need gimmicks for Old Timers Day. Like, we need rematches. And I always thought for the 25-year anniversary, the 2000 Yankees versus the 2000 Mets and an old-timers game. Now, I get it. We beat them. We don't get revenge. But it's fun. Like, it's a chance to, you know, have some fun 25 years later. Would you be open to challenging the Yankees to a rematch?
You took the pressure off me right there. That's not a dumb idea at all. It's kind of fun. It's
like,
kind of interesting. I don't know. You know, when we put together the old-timers game a couple of years ago, I mean, it was such a huge undertaking that I think the team got, like, knocked back. Like, oh, my God, that was a lot of work. We expected, like, 25 guys, and we got 65 guys. And it was a great, great day, and I think all the guys loved it. The thing that, you know, is going to happen there is that you get guys 25 years past the time, it's going to be an ugly game. You're not going to have the Daniel Murphys and Davids out there to kind of make the young old-timers look
You know why I
like
want the game?
Doing.
Do you know the reason?
No, tell me.
It's not really for revenge because nothing can fix that. I think you know that. I want somebody, and maybe it's you, I want you to do what needed to be done. I want you to take out Roger Clemens.
Yep. You know what? We could probably set that up right now, and that'd probably be a great pay-per-view event just to have that moment.
All right. Well, hopefully we'll put it together. The old timers game rematch. Would you accept that as a Yankee fan, the rematch? Or too much pressure that you may lose?
No. It's actually great as a Yankee fan because if you win, I get to mock you.
See, this is the problem.
Right, because he'll celebrate it for the rest of his life.
Todd, are the Mets going to make the postseason?
I say yes. I'm not going to jump up and down and do the chant because I
the Mets are going to the postseason, Todd.
I have a great feeling that the Mets are going to the postseason. Oh. I think that that some of the tough work that they had to do was in the rearview mirror now and getting back to where they're starting to feel like they believe that they're going. And so, I think they've got
they believe they're going.
Yeah. And that's a sensible answer, Todd. It's better than his answer, which is he's scared of ghosts.
Yeah.
He is scared of the Atlanta Braves because of past series. You've played forever. Is that a thing? Two years ago, does that matter?
I would have said, in 2000 and 2001, when we would play the Braves, there was this feeling that the Braves had at that time that we're going to find a way to beat you guys. And it permeated, I think, our soul at times. And
thank you.
Especially in 2001. And right. Because, 9/11 had happened. We're going down the stretch. We play them in big games.
Blue games, by the way.
And they were
Armando.
And it was
not going to say anything, but he blew some games.
Whether it was Brian Jordan.
Brian Jordan twice.
Like, those types of moments. So you had those that are that are tough to get away from as a team, as a feeling. But I feel like the Mets have gotten past that with the Braves. They've played the Braves tough. They've lost a couple of tough games, but they beat them in some tough games. And I don't get any sense of trepidation when they go in there or when the Braves come here.
Be very honest with me about this. I can handle the truth. If the Atlanta Braves had beaten the St. Louis Cardinals in the National League Divisional Series in 2000, and it was Mets Braves in the 2000 NLCS, would you guys have beaten them?
I don't know. I mean, they had our number. They had our number, but they're also not a great playoff baseball team. So they won 13 championships and won one World Series during that time. So it would have been interesting, but you get to the postseason and you feel a little bit differently at times.
You remember, and I'm sure this was weird for you, being at Shea Stadium when we're all watching the scoreboard that the Braves got eliminated and we're doing the tomahawk chop, which we wouldn't do now, but we did it then, celebrating their demise. That's how scared Met fans were. We were rooting for the Cardinals like we were Cardinal fans.
Yeah, I get haunted by the tomahawk chop once in a while. Yeah, that gives me shivers. But you know what? We were also, I guess we asked for our own fate because when we clinched, we went in and watched the Yankees, and we were rooting for the Yankees.
Oh, come on. Todd.
We were rooting for the Yankees.
That's
we
amazing.
Wanted to face the Yankees.
Wow.
More were they playing the Blue Jays or something?
No, they were playing the Mariners.
Yeah, we were rooting for the Yankees.
I cannot believe you.
Yeah, we were all like, yeah, this is going to be great. We're going to take it to them.
I am so disgusted that you're admitting this to me right
That's
now.
Great.
All of you, like every single one of you.
I'm glad
now know. As a collective, the guys that I remember sitting around watching,
Al Leiter?
We were like, oh, yeah.
Edgardo Alfonso?
I mean, I'm not going to put these poor guys on the hot
seat. Now they're going to get put on blast
years,
on social media.
It's funny you say that, Todd, because you just got done saying the Braves weren't a great postseason team, and we're talking about a team that was coming off back-to-back World Series, and yet you wanted them.
Yeah, we wanted them because we felt like we had some unfinished business, and we had,
Are you hurt, Evan?
I mean, you saw what happened during the regular season with in that Subway Series. So we're like, let's get them. Come on, we'll take you guys on and.
Yeah, I saw what happened during the regular season. Doc Gooden shut us out at Shea Stadium, and Roger Clemens beamed Piazza in the head. Nobody did a damn thing about it, and we lost.
On the same day, right?
On the same day! You know! Todd, do a great job. We love watching SNY. We appreciate you coming on, man.
Great to see you guys on here. Great to see you.
Thanks, Todd.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.